Well, one day Adam was walking around the Garden of Eden, feeling very lonely, causing God to ask, "What's wrong with you, Adam?" Adam replied that he didn't have anyone to talk to. So God announced that he was going to give him a companion, a woman. "A woman," Adam replied. Well, then God described her. "She will be someone to cook for you and wash your clothes. She will always agree with every decision you make. She will bear your children and never ask you to get up in the middle of the night to care for them. This woman will not nag you and will always be the first to admit when she is wrong. She will show you love and compassion all the days of your life." "Wow," said Adam. "What's this going to cost me, Lord?" And God responded, "An arm and a leg." And Adam thought for a moment and said, "Lord, what can I get for a rib?" Of course, the rest is history. In the first reading today, we have the story of Adam and Eve. And we see the sin of Adam and Eve was a sin of disobedience and pride, which led to death. But when Christ came, the new Adam, as the fathers of the church describe him, of course that means Mary is the new Eve, there was humility, which brought about grace and eternal life. The first Adam and Eve, through sin and disobedience, brought death into the world. The new Adam and the new Eve, Jesus and Mary, through humility and obedience, brought about grace and eternal life for us. Our Lady has been called our tainted nature's solitary boast. What a beautiful image she is for all women. The greatest creation of God is a woman. And this woman gave birth to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God wanted her to be pure and holy, to be that holy, pure vessel through which he could come into the world. In the Old Testament, God created Adam first, and then Eve was born of her. In the New Testament, it was just the opposite. He created Mary first, and then Jesus came forth from our Blessed Mother. And God told the devil that there would be enmity between Satan and this woman, that this woman would be so pure and holy, she would be completely at odds with the devil. Total enmity between her and Satan. That's why you always see statues of Mary crushing Satan underfoot, the serpent, the snake. There'd be total enmity between the new Eve, the woman, and Satan. So we know that Our Lady was conceived without original sin. Remember that the new Adam, of course, is greater than the first Adam. So the new Eve must also be greater than the first Eve. The first Eve was created without sin originally. Therefore, the new Eve must also be created without sin as well. And historically, Our Lady has appeared to confirm this teaching of her Immaculate Conception. In 1830, she appeared in Paris, France, at the Rue des Bacs, the convent to St. Catherine Laboureil. And there was this beautiful image, which I have on my vestment. It's the image of the miraculous medal. And Our Lady composed this prayer that we should say, "O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to Thee." Well, thousands of medals were made. Pretty soon, healings and conversions and returns to the sacraments came about through Mary's intercession. See, if I can pray for you and you can pray for me, why shouldn't we ask the Mother of the Lord to pray for us? Then in 1854, the Church officially defined the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception, which says that due to the singular grace of God, due to the foreseen merits of Jesus Christ and what He accomplished through His passion, death, and resurrection, Our Lady was preserved from being tainted by even the least stain of original sin, by anticipation of what Christ would do on the cross. See, you and I are saved after the fact. Christ redeemed his Blessed Mother before the fact, by anticipation. So that wonderful doctrine, 1854, was officially defined, but it's been believed since the earliest days of the Catholic Church that the Mother of Jesus was without sin. Again, the early Church Fathers call Mary the New Eve, the sinless one, the Immaculate One. And then in 1858, Our Lady would appear again at Lourdes to Bernadette. And there she would say, "I am the Immaculate Conception." So we believe this wonderful truth, which is shown to us in Scripture, which has been officially declared by the Church. And the Church has even said that the Americas are dedicated under the patronage of the Immaculate Conception. So North America, Central America, South America is under Mary's patronage and protection. That's why this is a holy day for us, because it is our feast day, the feast day of the Americas. And you know, sometimes you'll have people outside the Church question this. They don't understand what Catholics believe about this. They say, well, where is it in the Bible that Mary is without sin? Well, the best place to point is today's Gospel, the Annunciation. The angel Gabriel said to Mary, "Hail, full of grace." Now, the New Testament was written in Greek, and that word "full of grace" only appears one time in all of the Bible, kacheritomene in Greek, which means filled with grace. And that particular word is a perfect passive tense, which means that it's a completed act that has been perfected. So the angel said to Mary, "Hail, you who have been perfected in grace." That is the Immaculate Conception, that from the first moment of her existence, Mary was full of grace. She was never tainted, even for an instant, by original sin. That's not so hard to accept when, for example, we know that John the Baptist, Scripture says, was sanctified in his mother's womb when he was 6 months old. If John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, was cleansed of original sin at 6 months in the womb, isn't it logical to think that somebody far holier, his own mother, would be preserved from original sin from the first moment of her existence? So you can explain to those outside the Church this beautiful teaching. Sometimes they object and say, well, in the Magnificat, Mary says, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." And they say, "Hey, we got you. Mary says she needed a Savior, therefore she must be a sinner." Well, the way you respond to that is you can be saved in two ways, before the fact or after the fact. We're saved after the fact, when the waters of baptism wash over us, when we receive absolution and confession. Mary was preserved before the fact from being tainted by original sin. We don't deny that Mary needed a Savior. We don't deny she needed a Redeemer. In fact, Mary was redeemed most perfectly by Jesus, but it was applied to her by anticipation. We can say, in a sense, that Mary was vaccinated from original sin. You see, if you get an illness, you can, and you're about to die, and you get a shot of medicine, and that saves your life. But if you got a vaccination and it saved your life, the medicine works either after the fact or before the fact. What Jesus did on the cross for us affects us after we come into this world. But the grace of God affected Mary at the moment of her conception. If somebody's drowning in quicksand and you pull them out, you save them from the quicksand. If you caught somebody before they fell into the quicksand, you save them from the quicksand. God caught Mary before she was allowed to fall into the quicksand of original sin. So yes, Our Lady is most perfectly redeemed by Christ, her Son. And so we honor her as the Mother of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, as our spiritual mother, the one who is full of grace, that chosen vessel that intercedes and that prays for us. I would just like to suggest a couple practical things that we can do to honor Our Lady in this way. First, go visit her shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C., the Basilica, only about 45 minutes away without traffic, an hour and a half with traffic. Try to get down there and see Our Lady's house. It is so beautiful, the whole shrine dedicated to the Immaculate Conception. Wear her medal, called the Miraculous Medal, or her brown scapular, the sign of your consecration to her. Join her prayer groups and organizations, such as the Legion of Mary, the Blue Army, and all these other beautiful organizations that honor our Blessed Mother. Consecrate and entrust yourself to Our Lady. Jesus was the first one who entrusted himself and consecrated himself to his mother by spending 9 months in her womb. We too should entrust and consecrate ourselves to the loving care and protection of our Blessed Mother. And lastly, we should make the effort in our society to be involved in the pro-life movement. As you know, we honor today the Immaculate Conception of Mary. And that means that her life began at conception. Your life began at conception. My life began at conception. So what I love so much about this feast day, it is such a pro-life feast day. The feast day of the Immaculate Conception, because we're all acknowledging the sanctity, the dignity, the sacredness of life from the moment of conception all the way through natural death. And life is under attack. The elderly are under attack through euthanasia, which is basically murder, mercy killing, whether it be actively or passively. Life is under attack through terrorism, through infanticide, through suicide, and of course in our society, more than anything else, through abortion. And now, as you know, in government, they're trying to push forward this health reform, which is going to be promoting more and more the killing of the unborn, innocent human life. So we as Christians have to stand up and make our voice known that we will not allow this to happen. We have to do everything we can in our power to safeguard the sanctity of unborn human life while providing care for people in every stage of life. But as you know, true health reform is about saving lives, not destroying them, especially the most innocent and defenseless among us, the unborn children. So we consecrate ourselves to Our Lady. We renew our country's consecration to Our Lady under this title of the Immaculate Conception. We ask her to intercede for us, for our families, for our country, that will truly respect all human life beginning at conception. God bless you.